Friday, July 11th, Pope St. Pius I. The Epistle from the First Letter of St. Peter, Chapter 5, Verses 1 through 4 and 10 through 11. Dearly beloved, the ancients therefore that are among you, I beseech, who am myself also an ancient and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as also a partaker of that glory which is to be revealed in time to come. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking care of it, not by constraint, but willingly, according to God, not for filthy lucre's sake, but voluntarily, neither as lording it over the clergy, but being made a pattern of the flock from the heart. And when the Prince of Pastors shall appear, you shall receive a never-fading crown of glory. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. Haydock Commentary. It cannot be doubted but the Greek and Latin words which we find in this verse translated as ancients were applied after the establishment of the new law of Christ to signify such ministers of God in the church, which are now called priests and bishops. St. Peter, being called and made the first or chief of the apostles soon after Christ began to preach, was witness of what Christ suffered, both during the time of his preaching and of his passion. When St. Peter mentions glory, some think that he only means that he was present at his transfiguration, where was shown some resemblance of the glory which is to come in heaven. Others think that he expresses the firm hopes he had of enjoying the glory of heaven. When he encourages them to feed the flock, this shows he speaks of bishops and priests, and not of elders in years only. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. And Jesus came into the quarters of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that the Son of Man is? But they said, Some John the Baptist, and others some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jesus saith to them, But whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Whom do men say that I, who out of humility am wont to call myself the Son of Man, am? And especially I now so call myself that I may examine your faith concerning me, O ye apostles. The common people among the Jews were aware that for several hundred years prophets had failed to be amongst them, together with the Ark of the Covenant and the oracles from the mercy seat. Thus they thought that Christ was not a new prophet, but one of the ancient prophets. For in Christ they beheld their virtues, their miracles, and their doctrine. Few indeed were they who believed with certainty that he was the Messiah. By far the greater number did not believe. They were offended at his humility and his poverty. They thought the Messiah would come with regal pomp as the son of Solomon, as the Jews still think and expect. Wherefore, although some of the people had recently said, when they saw so many miracles done by Christ, Is not this the son of David? And, This is indeed that prophet which should come into the world. Yet this was a sudden and transient cry, elicited by beholding a miracle, not a firm and settled opinion. They thought that the soul of one of the prophets had passed into Christ by metempsychosis. Or more probably, they thought one of the prophets had risen again, and Jesus was he, as though Jesus really were John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah. For the Pharisees and the Jews generally believed in the resurrection of the dead. This indeed is plain from what Herod said of Christ, This is John himself who is risen from the dead. Some thought Jesus to be John the Baptist because he appeared to be very like him in age, in sanctity, and in his preaching. And since John had been shortly before put to death by Herod, he was fresh in their memory and seemed to be worthy of rising again. Others thought Christ was Elijah on account of the like zeal in both, and because Elijah was not yet dead and was expected by all the Jews to return according to the prophecy of Malachi in chapter 4, verse 5, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. They thought, therefore, that Elijah had returned and that Jesus was he. Others were of opinion that Christ was Jeremiah because Jeremiah was a most holy man and a mirror of patience and charity, and because some thought Jeremiah would return with Elijah to preach to the Jews, being moved by those words of Jeremiah 1:5, I have given thee for a prophet to the Gentiles. Jesus saith to them, But whom do ye say that I am? St. John Chrysostom says with regard to the subject itself, The Lord by his second question admonishes his disciples to think more loftily concerning him. By the very manner of his interrogation, he shows that those common opinions fell far short of his dignity. You, he says, who have been always with me, and who yourselves have done so many miracles in my name, whom do you say that I am? He who was called Simon when he was circumcised was by Christ named Cephas, that is, Peter. Some think Peter, as it were the mouth of the apostles, answered not for himself alone, but for all. So say St. Jerome, St. Anselm, St. Thomas, St. Augustine, and St. Ambrose. With more probability, St. Hilary and others think Peter spoke for himself and his own feeling, for the other apostles being silent and hesitating what reply to give, Peter being wiser than the rest, forasmuch as he was taught of God and being more fervent, lest anyone should answer unworthily concerning Christ, dashed in with his answer and replied on behalf of all. Not because he knew the mind of all, for he had not spoken with them concerning the matter, but because he wished that his own opinion should be common to them all. Peter, as about to be constituted after the resurrection, the prince of the apostles and of the whole church, being more deeply taught and inspired by God, recognized the divinity of Christ and answered concerning it what all the rest would have answered. This is plain because to Peter only, as the reward of his confession, Christ promised the most ample reward and prerogative. For he says to him by name above the rest of the apostles, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, etc. Peter calls him son of God, not by grace and adoption, as all the saints are sons of God, but by nature and the deity communicated to him by God the Father by eternal generation. St. Leo says, The divine Peter, by the revelation of the Heavenly Father, overcoming corporeal things and transcending things human, beheld the Son of the living God and confessed the glory of the deity. Saints Hilary and John Chrysostom and others are of opinion that St. Peter, first of all men, confessed the divinity of Christ. Peter, being enlightened by God, recognized it distinctly, clearly, and sublimely, and first being asked concerning this thing, openly and constantly confessed the same and testified in this place, that verily Christ was peculiarly the Son of God, that is, begotten of God the Father by eternal generation, and therefore consubstantial with him, and very and eternal God. Christ required this faith concerning himself from Peter and the apostles, because that faith is the foundation of our justification, as because the passion and death of Christ were at hand, in which it was needful that the apostles should be sustained by this faith in the divinity of Christ. Lest when he was dead, they should think that faith and all other things were dead with him. Jesus responds to him as if to say, Blessed and happy art thou, O Peter, on account of this new faith concerning me, for this is a mighty gift and benefit, not of flesh and blood, not of nature, but by the grace of God inspiring and revealing to thee this very thing. For this faith is the beginning and the foundation of all grace and glory, and therefore it shall lead thee and many through thee and thy example and preaching to eternal blessedness. For blessedness in the journey standeth in the faith and love of Christ, but the blessedness of the homeland is the vision and fruition of the same. According to those words of St. John, This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Hence the Council of Ephesus says, Thrice most blessed and worthy of all praise is the Apostle Peter, who is the rock and the base of the Catholic Church, and the foundation of the true faith. Hence St. Jerome says to Pope Damasus, I am united to thy blessedness, that is, to the chair of Peter. That Peter is here called the rock is proved first by the pronoun this, upon this rock. For since this is demonstrative, it ought thus to be understood, this rock of which I have spoken, and to whom I speak, that is, thou art Peter, the rock of the church, and upon thee as upon a rock I will build my church. For there has been no mention made of any other rock to which the pronoun this could refer, except Peter. You may say, Christ said not, Thou art Petra, but Thou art Petrus, and so deny that the pronoun this refers to Peter. I answer that Christ is said to have spoken in Syriac, Thou art Kepha, and upon this Kepha I will build my church. For Kepha means a rock, and hence Peter in Syriac was also called Kepha. But the Greek translator, who was followed by the Latin, gave the masculine form of the noun, namely Petrus, rather than Petra, which is feminine. But Petros and Petra in Greek equally signify a rock or a stone. Peter, therefore, is called the same word Petra, but the translator made a variation for the sake of elegance, and rendered it, Thou art Peter, and upon this Petra, not upon this Petros, both because Petra in Greek is more frequently used for a rock or a stone than Petros, and because houses are properly built upon stones, not upon men. You may say, But some of the fathers, by the rock, understand the faith which Peter confessed. I answer, These fathers do not mean the faith abstractedly, but the faith as it was in Peter, and consequently they take Peter himself to be the rock of the church, as they themselves afterwards fully explain. They hold that Peter, for the merit of his faith, received the dignity of a rock in the church. On account of that faith, he had deserved to be himself the foundation of the church, and that his faith should never fail, but that he should confirm and strengthen others in the faith. For the church is fashioned and renewed not of faith, but of faithful men, who are, as it were, its parts. For the church is nothing else than the company of the faithful. Wherefore, likewise, in order that the head of the church may be of the same nature as the body, that head must be a faithful man, that is to say, Peter and the pontiff.